Thank you for listening to the Calvary Church Podcast. For more information about the church, you can visit us online at toledocalvary.org or follow us on social media at Toledo Calvary.
Once again, welcome to Calvary today. I want to say welcome to those of you that are here in the sanctuary. Maybe you're joining us in Auditorium 2. So glad you're here. Maybe you're watching online or join us by way of television or the podcast. It is a privilege to have you with us today. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 is where we're going to be today. Several weeks ago, we started this new series called Go Bag. And the idea behind a Go Bag is that you have a backpack, a duffel bag, that you have something that's ready that if in a moment's notice you had to take off, you would have something you could grab that would have the essential things that you would need for the journey that's ahead. That's this series, Go Bag. It's the essential things for the journey that's ahead. And as we've been talking about this, we last week hit a verse real quick at the end of the message last week. That is in Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. Jesus gives these instructions. Remember, he's sending out his disciples. He has called them. He is commissioning them. He is sending them out to live their lives in his kingdom and to take the good news to others. And Jesus says this: heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. And Jesus says, look, I have given you so much. I want you to take some of what I've given you and share it with others. When he talks about giving here, he's not just talking about our wallets. He's not just talking about money. He's talking about your talents. He's talking about your abilities. He's talking about the places where God has put you to have influence. He's talking about all the things that he's called you to do. And I'm bold enough to believe that every single one of us, based on scripture, has been created by God to do good works, the Bible says. He appointed those in advance for us to do. A long time ago, he decided the things he would have for you to do. Where are you at in your journey right now? Like if we were to look at your life and call it a journey, where are you? And what is God calling you to do? How's he calling you to freely give? The challenge is that oftentimes we have a hard time giving because we're afraid that when we give in some way, we're losing. And Jesus says here that freely we have received from him, and so freely we should give. And the reality is this: you will struggle to freely give if you do not trust the giver. You will struggle to freely give. You will struggle to be used by the Lord. You will struggle to be obedient. You will struggle to see purpose and meaning in your life if you have a hard time trusting God. The reality is we have to believe and trust in him, because you'll struggle to freely give if you do not trust the giver. I have a very clear memory of standing in the kitchen in the home where I grew up, and my dad walked up to me and he handed me a $100 bill. Would anyone like to have this $100 bill today? I would as well, so I'm going to keep it. And I remember, I was probably 16. And I remember my dad pulled out a $100 bill. And some of you are watching me right now in a way that you never have been this awake in church before. Money talks, right? I'm going to preach like this from here on out. He gave me that. And I remember thinking to myself, that is a lot of money. I still look at this and go, that is a lot of money. And I remember thinking to myself, my dad has a lot of money. Now, I don't know if he did or not. If he did, he didn't. But in that moment, I remember thinking to myself, my dad has a lot of money. And it meant that in my heart, I knew whatever my needs were, I could trust my dad. There will be moments in your life where God's going to call you to do things. That word calling is so bold. It's big, right? It's just being obedient. It's just doing what you were created to do. It's just doing what scripture says. It's trusting God in wherever you're at in your journey right now. And if we don't believe that God has everything that we need, it's hard for us to trust him. You'll struggle to freely give if you have a hard time trusting the giver. If I had to give a title to this message today, it would just be these three words: God will provide. God will provide. And that's what we're going to see in this passage of scripture. Remember, Jesus is sending out the disciples. He's telling them, I want you to go and do what I've called you to do. Some of you are in some real crossroad moments right now. You're making decisions about your finances. You're making decisions about your family. You're making decisions about your education. You're at some place where you're trying to see, God, how do I move forward here? The good news is that God will provide, and we're going to look at that today. Here's what we're going to see. Jesus is going to give this news to the disciples. God will give you what you need when you need it to accomplish his will for your life. God will give you what you need when you need it to accomplish his will for your life. Here's how Paul says it, Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And this same God who takes care of me, Paul says, will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. And we use this word so often where we say, well, we want God to bless us. And I think we can have this tendency that when we use the word bless, blessed, blessing, we have this idea that means my bank account's gonna grow and my car's gonna get nicer and my house is gonna get bigger, that's what we attach blessing to. But if you look at scripture, Old Testament, New Testament, there is an underlying concept anytime you see this idea of blessing. To be blessed means to have everything you need to accomplish God's purposes. So when you are blessed, it means that God's given you everything that you need. He's provided for you. He's supplied for you. And we're not just talking about cash when we talk about provision today. We're talking about a bigger picture. Everything you need for the things that God has sent you out, that he's called you, that he's created you to do. So what we're going to look at from what Jesus says today are four provisions for your journey. If he provides, we're going to look today at four provisions for your journey. We're just going to work our way through the things that Jesus says in Matthew chapter 10. Let's start with verse 9. Jesus says this, do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts, no bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. And Jesus is sending them out and he says, look, don't stockpile things. Don't run by the bank and get extra gold and silver and copper. Don't take extras of everything. And he's not calling them to poverty. What he's calling them to is trust. Like, this is something he gives very specific to this journey. There'll be other times where Jesus gives different instructions than this. But here's what he says with this one. Hey, fellas, that's what he called the 12 disciples, by the way. He says, hey, fellas, trust me on this one. Here's why. Number one, because you will have the resource you need. This passage of scripture tells us, number one, you will have the resource you need. Jesus is saying, if you will be obedient, if you will trust me, if you'll do what I'm asking you to do, you can trust that God will give you everything you need for what you're called to. He's really saying to them, hey, I know you're going into some situations that will be stressful, but don't stress out. Anybody else wish God would just send an email with what the plans are going to be? Right? Lord, I wish I would just know where that resource is going to come from. I wish I would know. Just tell me when I'm going to encounter that challenge. Lord, if I would just know that this is the decision, I'm just waiting on a PDF. Can I get an amen? That's all I need. Just tell me. But he doesn't work that way. You know what he says? He says, trust me. Let me lead you in this and believe that you will have the resource that you need. Here's what Jesus is really teaching them here. First, it's that blessing begins with obedience. Right? If you want to see God's blessing, if you want to see his provision, if you want to see him meet your needs, blessing begins with obedience. It begins with a dependence on God. And in this passage of scripture, you see him talk here about money, about housing, about food, about everything you need for life. And it starts with obedience. And that obedience is what it starts with if you want to be blessed in some way. Now, here's the reality. I know people who have everything they want and they still don't have what they need. Do you know what I mean? Like it's not their bank account. It's not the car. It's not the vacation. They have everything that they want, but somehow there's an emptiness on the inside. There's a dissatisfaction that's there. And Jesus says, look, it starts with obedience. That's why oftentimes we'll talk about biblical stewardship, about concepts like tithing and offerings and giving to the Lord, honoring God with your finances, because it's not until you take those steps that God can truly bless the things that you have. We have to realize that blessing begins with obedience, And then we see that obedience then leads to blessing. If blessing begins with obedience, then there's a biblical principle that obedience leads to blessing. As they went out and were obedient in what God asked them to do, then God met their needs all along their journey. There's a scripture, it won't be on the screens, but listen to this. Psalm 84:11 says, "The Lord will withhold no good thing from those who do what is right." This is a powerful truth. If we do what is right, then God is not gonna keep good things back from us. It goes back to that idea we looked at a little while ago, that to be blessed means to have everything you need to accomplish God's purposes. He will bless us, he will come alongside of us, because obedience is what leads to blessing. Like, this idea goes all the way back to Abraham in the Old Testament. Does anybody remember the story of when God asked Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac? Does anybody remember this story? Anybody? Okay, I'm not gonna tell it, and if you don't know it, it's a cliffhanger. Go to Genesis 22. But in the end, God is faithful, Abraham's happy, Isaac is really happy. And here's what God says. Genesis chapter 22, verse 14. Abraham named the place Yahweh Yireh, which means the Lord will provide. To this day, people still use that name as a proverb. On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. It says there, Abraham named the place Yahweh Yireh, or sometimes we'll say Jehovah Jireh. Have you ever heard that before? We'll sing that name sometimes. We'll sing about Jireh. And those are words that mean our God is the provider. Jehovah, our God, Jireh is the provider. And we've hung on to that concept and that idea. And it started there in this passage where Abraham just says it so boldly. God provides. He's the one we trust. He's our provider. He's the one who works. It's not just money. It's giving you everything that you need. Sometimes it's that you see his provision and you go, wow, I can't believe he gave that to me. I think oftentimes the way God provides is what he doesn't give to us. Anybody? Some of the greatest blessings in my life are the things that God has kept me from or kept from me. And I trust him in those ways. And I tried to think, like, what's a good analogy for this idea of God as provider? And I thought, what about an ATM machine? Because when you go, you know you can trust that it'll come. And I thought about that. I thought, that's not a good analogy. Because God is not an ATM machine. Because some of us treat God like that. Like, we just roll up beside him when we need something and we put in the card that says, I went to church, or I watched online, or I read my Bible twice this year, right? And all those things, right? We put in the secret code and we think that God will just give us what we need. Is God your ATM machine, yes or no? I know some people that forgot he's their casino, right? I need something and God, I'm just gonna take a gamble on you. Lord, I'm gonna trust that you're just gonna show up. And look, God is not a casino. I'm trying to think, what's a good analogy? You know what kept coming back? God's a father, isn't he? And he is our father and he loves us and he can provide for us and he'll give us everything we need and he knows what is good for us, but he does it out of relationship. He does it out of obedience. He does it when we trust in him. So what do you need from the Lord? Like, is there a place where you need resource in your life? And are you willing to trust him with that? So much so that you take a step of obedience. Because Jesus says something really cool here. He talks about this idea that you'll have everything that you need. And then he says, for the worker is worth his keep. You ever heard that before? The laborer is worthy of their hire. Here's what Jesus is saying. Provision and perspiration go hand in hand. Provision and perspiration go hand in hand. Like, if you're not willing to put some work in, you can't expect to get the provision back in your life. It's a principle that if we're not willing to do what we need to do, how can we expect that God will be able to provide for us? Paul says it this way, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, even while we were with you, we gave you this command, those unwilling to work will not get to eat. The Hobby Lobby should sell that sign for kitchens, amen? $1 million idea right there. Those unwilling to work will not get to eat. Yet we hear that some of you are living idle lives, refusing to work and meddling in other people's business. We command such people and urge people. What is a people? We command such people and urge them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and work to earn their own living. As for the rest of you, dear brothers and sisters, never get tired of doing good. God expects those he provides for to work for their provision because he's given us energy. And it's interesting how Paul points this out here. He says, look, you will either use the energy in your life to do good things and then God can provide for you, or that energy is going to take you sideways, because he says there's these people that are not using their energy in a healthy way, and instead they become meddlesome, they become troublemakers, they become busybodies. He says you will either be busy or you'll be a busybody. Have you ever seen an energetic toddler? Anybody? And as a parent or a grandparent, you have to decide, how am I going to channel that energy? Because if I don't channel it in a healthy way, if I don't keep them entertained, if I don't help them to do something that is beneficial, they will become, you fill in the blank, a wrecking crew, right? And here's the idea. I think we all have an inner toddler, that if our energy is not sent in the right way, if we don't allow God to help us be busy doing what he would have for us to do, we will become busybodies. Our energy will go sideways and it won't be the right thing. And we need to consider this in our lives. Look, I've known people who have come to me and said, Pastor, why doesn't God help me? And I've had a hard time because I can't come up with a pastoral word for lazy. Any suggestions? Right? Look, God is looking for us to do our part so that he can do his part. Does that make sense? Right? And so this is very clear in our lives. Now look, some of you may be in a place very genuinely where you need God's provision. And blessing begins with obedience, and that obedience then leads to blessing. And what scripture tells us here is that God will provide the resource that you need. Then Jesus says something else. He kind of takes a different turn on this now. Look at verse 11. Jesus says, whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person and stay at their house until you leave. And as you enter the home, give it your greeting. So the idea of this greeting, let me pause here real quick. The idea there, scholars would believe, is that in both a spiritual and then in a verbal sense, you would say peace to this house. Like there would be a blessing, a greeting, where you would, as an agent of God, bring peace to that house, that God's peace would go through you. So back to verse 12. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. Truly, I tell you, it will be more bearable for Sodom and Gomorrah on the day of judgment than for that town. And so Jesus is talking here about a place for them to stay. But even more, as he's sending them out into these little towns and villages, he's also talking about a place where they will set up shop. He's talking about people who will stand with them, people who will be in partnership with them. And this is what's key here, and you and I need this too. If we're going to accomplish God's purposes for our lives, if you're going to be faithful, if you're going to be fruitful in what God has called you to, the second thing you'll need is this. Number two, you will have the people you need. The people around you and in your life who will help you. God will help you to connect with the people that you need, because I think for many of us, one of the places where oftentimes we sense lack in our lives is in our relationships. And we don't feel like we have the partnerships that we need, or we're lonely, or we don't have the support we would hope for. Look, I know this gets tricky, because one of the most deeply felt parts in any of our lives are our relationships, especially if there's seasons where we're lonely or where our relationships are empty, or leave us hurting in some way. But one of the things that Jesus says is, as I'm sending you out, I'm gonna help you to have the relationships you need. Where does it start? Well, again, it starts with us. First, he says, be a person of peace. That when you go into that house, you say peace to this house. You bring peace to that house. You begin. It's on you to start. This is the key. You cannot get what you do not have. Then so you give peace to others. How do you share peace? Well, it's in your words, it's in your actions, it's your temperament, it's your attitudes. When people interact with you, do they sense the peace of God? Not that you're not in a situation that's chaotic, not that there's not times where you're not busy, not that there are seasons, right? But does God's peace come through you to other people? So he says this starts by being a person of peace, And then he says that you connect with people of peace. That you connect with people of peace. That you look to find a home. When you go there, there's a connection of that greeting, right? If it's deserving of the peace, it says. And that's a key thing, that we look for those in our lives who will help us to accomplish God's purpose. That we look for people, this is the big picture of this whole thing, who will support and make a difference in the things that God is doing in our lives. Today, they ran this morning the Glass City Marathon. Did you know that? Anybody ever been to a race like that? Anybody ever ran a race like that? That's a whole different breed of person. That's, yeah. Like, I don't know that I could do that, but I've been to the races a few times. Our sons have both ran marathons, and you stand there on the side of the road. In fact, if you're strategic, you go to all these different places where you can see them at different points in the course, and you've got signs that you've made, and you've got t-shirts that you made, you got a cowbell that you ring, you got pictures you hold up. My wife always takes an air horn, I think just for fun. Like it's just for her own satisfaction to watch how people jump when she honks it, right? That's what it's all about. And we do that. And you can literally watch as your person comes by and they hear you, they see you, and at a desperate moment in their lives, they're energized because the right people are there supporting them. The reality is, like, I've been standing there holding a sign that Rhonda made for me to hold, and other runners go by and read it, and you see them energized by the sign we meant for somebody else. Because there's something powerful when you know there are people who are along the way with you who are going to support you. Do you know what I'm talking about? What if you were standing there along the way of the marathon and you held a sign that said, "You don't look so good"? How helpful would that be? They run by and you go, "You could go faster." Doesn't help. Somebody rings the cowbell and goes, "You're never gonna make it." And yet some of you have those people in your life. Right? And we need people in our lives, Jesus says. And he says he can bring those people into our lives who will help to speak peace. Now this is key. And I'm walking on eggshells here for the next few moments, right? So I want you to track with me. I might have to bring this $100 bill out so you'll listen. Because one of the things that Jesus then says to them is he's like, be a person of peace and connect with people of peace. And then he says, accept that some situations will lack peace. He says, look, there will be times in your life where you'll find yourself in situations, in your family, you'll find yourself in situations at work where you will lack peace. And there's something that you may need to decide that you're gonna have to distance yourself from this. Now look, do not hear what I am not saying, right? Because anytime we talk about anything remotely like this, somebody will come up to me in the atrium afterwards and they will look at me and they will go, "Thank you, Pastor. You told me I can quit my job. I did not tell you to quit your job," right? There will be somebody who will walk up to me and go, "Oh, I've just been waiting for a sign to get a divorce. That is not what I said." Right? But it's important that we say this, that you hear that. There will be some relationships in our lives, though, sometimes, where we need to give ourselves some distance. Why? Well, sometimes the wrong person, place, or thing may lead to a lack of peace. Like, there may be some times where there's a person in our world where we go, "I gotta do something about this." There may be a place where we find ourselves where we say, "This isn't the right place." You may be doing something that you just realize that God's peace is not on this and you need to distance yourself. Now again, listen to what I'm saying here, because we live in a cancel culture world that's filled with subscription streaming where we think we can just start and stop relationships all the time like we do the things that we buy online. The reality is there are some times where God will say to us, there needs to be a separation that happens. Do you remember what Jesus says to them? He says, look, if your peace rests in the house, then you stay there. If it doesn't, then your peace will return to you and you are to leave that place and you are to, does anybody remember? You ever scratched a dog in just the right spot and they, what did Jesus say? He says, shake the dust from your feet. That's a phrase that goes back to the Pharisees in that time. And the Pharisees, when they would interact with Gentiles, had this tendency to go, we shake the dust from our feet. basically saying, whatever it is that you're trying to put on me, I'm not going to let it affect me. And there are seasons in our lives when those things need to happen. Now, look, I want to stress again, some commitments you just can't shake off on a whim. I'm not talking about abusive situations. Those need to be dealt with. Not places where you're being evilly mistreated. Those things need to be dealt with. But just so you know, marriage is a covenant. And church is a commitment. Family is a calling. And in the places where God has put you that allow you to be responsible for the well-being of your family, to provide, just because you don't like someplace doesn't mean you just shake it off. But there will be seasons in your life that, I'll just say this, there were seasons in Rhonda and I's life very early on in ministry where we had to come to a decision because there were some people in our lives who were extremely critical and extremely negative, and it was extremely affecting us. Some of you right now are going, you're pulling out Facebook going, we're gonna figure out who that is. Wasn't here. And we had to make a decision and go, if we go that route, that's gonna affect us. And we had to say, no, we're gonna separate us from those people, from that situation. If you are young in your career, if you're young in marriage, there are gonna be situations like that that are gonna come your way. And I can tell you the decisions that we made in those different seasons had a dramatic effect on the rest of our lives and the way God could use us. So there are times where you have to make some difficult decisions. How do you know? Like, how do you know if you should do that or not? Can I give you just a few questions to consider, right? Some of you are going, well, is it time to shake? Like, is it time for me to, like, maybe change some of my relationships? Here, let me give you some questions to ask. Four of them, just real quick. One is this, have I humbled myself? Right, have I humbled myself? Am I full of myself? Is it that I just don't like them, that I just don't like the situation, that I feel like I'm too good for this? Or have I humbled myself in this situation? And then have I sought good counsel? Like, what would other godly people say about this circumstance? How would they counsel me? What would they encourage me to do? And then how does God view my response? Does God look at my response and see the fruit of the Spirit? Does God look at my response and see obedience to his word? I know some people that as soon as they feel like there's a situation they need to shake, they get shaken. And they get a bad attitude, and they get very judgmental, and they get very prideful in that circumstance. So how does God view my response? And this is key. Am I making this decision from a place of health? Right? If you're finding yourself in a place where spiritually or emotionally you're unhealthy, there are seasons where it's not wise to trust yourself. Does that make sense? But to look to God, to look to others, are you holding on to bitterness? Is that what's fueling this? Is it a lack of forgiveness? Know this, how you leave one season of your life will always affect how you go into the next season. And there's a key truth that's there. And so much of it surrounds our relationships. And what does Jesus say? He says, I'll provide. I'll help you to have the people in your world that you need to accomplish what I'm calling you to do. Some of you may be in that kind of place right now where you're asking God for help in a season of transition. I think we talked about it already earlier today. Transition is not always bad, right? God always leads in different ways, and sometimes that means changes. But in these moments, God, will you help me with those things? Which takes us to the third thing we need to look at. Look at this, Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Count the animals in this verse. I am sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. So Jesus gives us a lot of pictures in this verse. And here, one of the things he's telling them as they're going out into the world to do what he's called them to do is this. Number three, you will have the wisdom you need. Number three, you will have the wisdom that you need. Here's how the Message version of the Bible reads this, stay alert. This is hazardous work I'm assigning you. You're gonna be like sheep running through a wolf pack. So don't call attention to yourselves. Be as shrewd as a snake, inoffensive as a dove. So just a couple of things to pull out of there just real quick. One is this. We need wisdom for the dangers of life. And the reality is you will have seasons of your life that will not be easy. Do you hear what Jesus said to them? He said, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. I think if I was one of the 12, I'd be like, Lord, could you say that again? Because that doesn't seem right. Like, aren't you the good shepherd? Like, shouldn't everything be all like bluebirds and butterflies now that we're following you? And he says, no. Sometimes if you're going to do my will, that means you're going to find yourself in a place that has some dangers to it. That there will be people around you who don't have your best interests in mind. And there's going to be times when you're going to need wisdom for the dangers of life. Because following Jesus is not always easy. Sometimes we're excited because of what God does in our lives, because he is the provider, because he does help us. And then when we face tough times, we think somehow he's not there. We think he's left us somehow. When the reality is, we often see him most faithful in the most difficult times. True? Like, I was reminded of this, like the missions trip I shared with you last week when I went to Northern Asia. Like, I was reminded in this just little trip that I took, right? The hours on the plane, the different food, the time zones, the language, the culture. Like, it was hard. Like, there's moments when it's difficult. And I was like, it was a good reminder of what missions cost people, of what it means to follow Jesus. It's not always easy. So Jesus says, I will give you wisdom. What do we need wisdom for? I didn't know what else to call it, so we need wisdom for the snake moments. And sometimes we have snake moments. He doesn't use the word snake here to represent evil like we sometimes see. He's saying sometimes you need to be, well, look at this. I like this language. Matthew 10:16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents. A serpent is shrewd and cunning. This doesn't mean that you're evil. It just means you're not naive. That you know that there's times where you have to have some wisdom about how you handle this situation. Because not everyone is your friend. And you will be in situations where you can't be naive, but Jesus says instead you need to be as shrewd as a snake. I think sometimes we forget that we should expect those who are not followers of Jesus to act like they do not follow Jesus. We're not deceptive, but we're cautious. So we need wisdom for the snake moments. We also need wisdom for the dove moments. Right? He says be as shrewd as a serpent, but also be as harmless, be as innocent, be as inoffensive, be as vulnerable as a dove, at which point I go, well, Jesus, which is it? Am I supposed to be a snake right now, or am I supposed to be a dove? And this is where we need some discernment from the Holy Spirit, true? Like, you'll find yourselves in some moments where you've got to go, God, how do I handle this situation? He says, don't worry, I'll give you the wisdom if you trust me. Where's that wisdom come from? Well, a couple of things. One, it comes from just common sense. Sometimes you got to think about it. The guy selling you the timeshare probably does not have your best interest in mind. Can I get an amen? Right? Sometimes it's just, sorry to the timeshare people watching online. Sometimes it's just common sense, right? Sometimes it's history as a gauge. Aren't you glad Jesus makes us a new creation? Okay, we got to go back to a different sermon then. Aren't you glad Jesus makes us a new creation? However, the best gauge of what's going to happen in the future is the way that someone has acted in the past. True? And there are times where we need to watch and learn. And then I'm so thankful for the discernment of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us this, John chapter 14, verse 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. I love this. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you, will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So some of you need wisdom today. You need to know how to handle this situation. Is it with innocence and vulnerability, or is it with cunning and shrewdness. Some of you are in a difficult setting. You're saying, God, will you help me? And he says, I already have. I've sent you my Holy Spirit who will come alongside of you. Which takes us to the last one, the fourth thing I want you to see today. Look at this, Matthew chapter 10, verse 17. Jesus says, be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. If I had been one of the 12, I think that's when I would have raised my hand and I would have said, Jesus, did you say if they arrest you or when they arrest you? Because I would rather be in the non-arresting team. Anybody else? Did you say flogging? Did you say I'd have to stand before the authorities? Because Jesus, I didn't know I signed up for that. And the reality is we might not be talking about persecution in your life today. But some of you are in a place today where you say, Jesus, I didn't know I was signing up for this. I didn't know this was what it was going to look like. I didn't know I was going to have to make these decisions. I didn't know I was going to have to face this uncertainty. I didn't know that diagnosis or that financial challenge. I didn't know those bills were coming. I didn't know they were going to do that. God, what do I do in those moments? Because you called me to follow you. Jesus would say, I didn't tell you it'd be easy. But I told you wherever you're at, whatever you need, I'm going to be right there with you. Because here's the fourth thing he's going to give you. You will have the response you need. Did you see what he said? You'll have the words that you need in that moment because the Holy Spirit's going to come alongside of you. And I don't think it's just words. You're going to have the courage and you're going to have the strength and you're going to have the help. Look at what he tells them. And I want to point out a couple of things just real quick here. Pain and problems often have a purpose. Right? Oftentimes when we go through the circumstances we didn't want to be in, whether you're arrested and flogged in the synagogue or whether you find yourself with news on your phone that you did not expect, those pain and problems often have a purpose. Jesus says, look, you're going to end up in that spot and you're going to be witnesses for me. I'm going to find a way to use this for your blessing and for my glory. I'm going to help you with this because I'm the one who can do this. I'm the one you can trust in these moments. And next thing he says to them is, do not worry. Do you know why he says that? Because we see this over and over again in scripture. Anytime anybody has an encounter with God or with an angel, do you remember the first things they say? Don't be afraid. Fear not. Why? Because fear and worry come in so quick, and fear and worry often hinder our purpose. They keep us from the purpose of what God wants to do. And if you find yourself in a place right now where you don't know what to do, you don't know how to respond, you're not sure how this is going to go, the Holy Spirit empowers us for life. He comes alongside of us. We're not guaranteed a happy ending, but you know what we hear? That he will give you everything you need for the moment that you're in. I never told you why my dad gave me this $100 bill, did I? I remember standing in the kitchen. I think I just got my driver's license. And my dad handed me this $100 bill. Not this one, but one that looked like this. It actually didn't look like this back then, did it? It's a lot. He handed me a $100 bill. And he said, I want you to put this in your wallet and I want you to forget that it's there. I don't want you to spend it on fast food when you're hungry. And I don't want you to use it to go to the movies because she's cute. I want you to put this in your wallet. I want you to keep it there because someday you're going to face something you're not planning for and you're going to need to pull that $100 bill out of your wallet and you're going to know that in that moment, your dad had already given you the resource that you needed for the moment you were in. And there's been very few days since then. Don't look, I put it in my secret place. There's been very few days that I haven't kept a $100 tucked away in my wallet. And I want you to know that your Father has already got the things that you need. Things that you don't even know you're going to need. Because you can trust him. Because our God provides. So can I ask you to stand with me today? And here's what I know. I know that anytime we look at God's word, his word is timeless. But for some of you, today has been very timely. And the worship team's going to come and they're going to lead us in a song that says, God is faithful. Faithful you are, faithful forever you will be. I will rest in your promises. I find my confidence in your faithfulness. And as we listen to this song, as we sing this song together, I want you to make it your prayer and trust in God. And for some of you, this wasn't just a good reminder from God's word. It was a timely word for where you are. If that's you, I want to challenge you with something. I want to challenge you, if you're in this room, if you're in Auditorium 2, to step out of your seat and come and find a place to stand here at the altar. If you're watching online, you're listening to the podcast, make this a moment where you make wherever you are an altar. But some of us today need to take a step of faith. Why? I think oftentimes a spiritual reality in our lives requires a physical step. And if you would say, money, people, wisdom, response, God, I need you to be my provider today. Would you step out of your seats, come and find a place to stand down here? We're gonna pray together in just a moment and take a moment to take that step of faith. But would you trust him with that today? Father, you are so good. Lord, you are the one we look to and we trust in. God, you are the one who is our hope. And so, Lord, in this moment, we look to you as our provider. We know your promises are yes and amen. God, we know that you are faithful. And so we trust you today in Jesus' name. Amen. If you need to trust him as provider today, would you step out of your seat and come? We'll pray together.
Father of kindness, you have poured out grace. You brought me out of darkness. You have filled me with peace. Giver of mercy, you're my help in time of need. Lord, I can't help but sing. And Father of kindness, you have poured out grace. You brought me out of darkness. You have filled me with peace. Giver of mercy, you're my help in time of need. Lord, I can't help but sing.
Faithful to us.
Faithful, that's faithful, faithful.
Can I invite you just to put your hands out in front of you, kind of in a posture to receive? And also in this moment, it's kind of a posture to give. And would you right now, especially those of you that are here, down here at the front of Auditorium 1, Auditorium 2, would you just begin to tell the Lord what you're trusting to Him? Tell Him the places in which you're looking for Him to provide. It's very honest in your heart. God, this is what I need. This is the resource, the people, the wisdom, the response. God, would you help me? Would you be my provider? So right now, from your own heart, your own need, would you just express that to Him? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Some of you that are standing here at the front right now, God is really speaking to your hearts about that you can trust Him. He's a good Father that you can trust, that He has the provision that you need. I just sense that there's some even in their seats that weren't so sure they wanted to take this walk, but God wants you to know you can trust Him right now. You're watching online, you can trust Him. Heavenly Father, Abraham called you Jehovah Jireh. You're the one who sees us and you provide for us. Paul tells us that you have glorious riches, that you pour out the things that we need from. And so, Lord, today we trust you. We trust you to be our provider. Lord, some of us today need a very physical provision from you in finances, in health. We need to see you respond in a way that we can't even begin to ask or imagine. God, would you do the work that only you can do? Lord, some of us have been in a place where we just need wisdom. We've almost just been stuck because we can't move past where we're at. Lord, you're pouring out that wisdom right now. We're trusting you. Some of us are finding ourselves in places we did not want to be. And yet, Holy Spirit, you've promised to come alongside of us and help us. And Lord, we're going to go into this week and we're going to see those places again where we feel like we're not enough or we don't have enough or we can't do enough. And you're going to remind us that your Holy Spirit is right there with us. Holy Spirit, that you are the one who comes alongside of us, the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of power that comes alongside of us. And you're our provider. And so, Lord, we look to and trust you to provide. I pray for my friends who have taken a step of faith today. Lord, would you meet them right where they are? Would you be their provider, we pray. Lord, thanks for this truth from your word. Thank you that we can trust you in every season. You'll give us everything we need for the journey that you've called us to. And so we trust you today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Hey, church, can we thank God for his word today? Awesome. God bless you. Thanks for being here. Have a great week. Go in His special favor and wonderful peace. We'll see you next Sunday.
And I will rest in your promise.